Today's daf is Kufvav. We're going to start right at the top of the Mishnah. V'simanav u'b'metzarav. So we're continuing along the lines where somebody sells a bait kor. We learned if he says midah b'chevel, he means the exact measurement. If he says hein chaser hein yeter, he means give or take. Yesterday the whole diyun was, what if he said both? And, you know, what did he mean? Was one canceling the other? Which direction? Etc. Today we have a case where he says, I'm selling you a bait kor of land, of sadeh. He says, b'simanav u'b'metzarav, which basically means that he's saying, go look. These are the boundaries. Okay, so I say, this is my, you know, acre property or dunam property, right? And here are the borders. In this case, we're going to see, what did we say last time? If we say, hein chaser, hein yeter, what did you mean? You meant, give or take, right? What's the margin of error that we say? A rova of a beit kav. Remember which meant? A quarter per se'ah, which would basically 1/24 is the measurement. That's what a quarter of a kav to one se'ah is 1/24. But in this case, since you said, and these are the borders, obviously what you were trying to do was to say that I'm including a larger margin of error. Okay, in which case, we won't say there's no error. In other words, at some point, we're going to say, if he was so off and the property was so different from a beit kor, then already we're going to say the sale is not good. But it's going to be a much larger percentage than the 1/24 that we saw before. So if you see b'seva simanav u'b'metzarav, pachot mishtut, if it's less than a sixth, higio, ad shtut yinake. So now we see the same amount we saw with ona'a. Okay, the Rashbam says, don't connect this to ona'a. Why not? Do you remember why? Because what did we say? There's no ona'a when it comes to land, right? This isn't the law of ona'a. It just happens to be the same sixth that we saw by ona'a. So if it's less than a sixth, then higio, then the sale is a good sale. If it's more than six, okay, ad shtut, which means basically a larger percentage than a sixth, yinake, right? Like if it's 1/5, a quarter, okay, then already you deduct it. Okay, then you start saying, okay, wait a minute. I got gypped, or, you know, let's say he gives him less, or he gives him more than he can take back. Okay, then you start doing the tally. What's obviously missing in this Mishnah? It says less than a sixth and more than a sixth, basically. So what about actually at a sixth? And that's going to be the discussion of the Gemara. Itmar, we're going to have a machloket emoraim. Rav Huna Amar, shtut kepachot mishtut. Okay? A sixth is like less than a sixth. Okay? A smaller percentage. Rav Yehuda Amar, so basically we're saying, right, if you give more than a sixth of the land or less than a sixth of the land, right? In other words, if you give less land measured at exactly a sixth, we're going to say that that's included in whatever you said, since you said b'tzimanav u'b'metzarav. Rav Yehuda Amar, shtut ki yoter mishtut. Okay, it's as if you have a higher percentage. Okay, and then we're going to say already at a sixth, you can start deducting or, you know, getting back your land or getting back your money, whatever it might be. Or, you know, getting extra land. Like the locale could say, hey, you jipped me, I was supposed to get more, give me more land. Okay, so now how does each one read the Mishnah? This is just a very simple, the way they each read the Mishnah. Rav Huna Amar, shtut kepachot mishtut, hachi kamar. This is what he really meant to say. Pachot mishtut vishtut bichlal higio. Right? He would have to read the Mishnah like this. Less than a sixth and a sixth, right, included, higio. Yoter mishtut yinake, right? But more than that, already you start deducting. Rav Yehuda Amar, shtut ki yoter mishtut, and therefore, hachi kamar, this is how he reads the Mishnah. Pacho mishtut higio. Ad shtut b'shtut bichlal yinake. Okay, so each one just reads it differently. That when it says, right, that according to Rav Yehuda, it says pacho mishtut, it really just means pacho mishtut. And as soon as you get to shtut b'yoter mishtut, then already it's going to be yinake. So it's just a matter of how you read the Mishnah, right? We have this in many, many cases where it's always, this happens all the time, right? Where you get confused about when somebody says, you know, a certain time, until a certain time, do you mean including, right, ava b'chal, ava lo ava b'chal. So this comes up in so many different situations in real life and in the Gemara. Okay, meitive. Now we're going to have a question on Rav Huna Shita. So let's just review. Rav Huna says, a sixth is like less than a sixth, okay? Kepachot mishtut. Okay, which basically means that, according to this, at less than a sixth, what's going to happen? The sale is, right, hamekach kayam. Right, the sale is good. You basically sold someone, just to review the case, you said, I'm giving you my land, and b'simanav, right, I'm giving you a beit kor, b'simanav u'b'meitzarav, right, according to its boundaries, and this is what it is. And because the guy said that, it's going to include more of a margin of error, which is going to be all the way, including even a sixth, according to Rav Huna. So now the Gemara is going to ask, Meitive, we have a question from a Braita. Okay, before we even get to this Braita, I need to give you a little bit of a background, something we've learned in the past. It's called Shum HaDayanim. Okay, so there's a Mishnah in Ketubot in Sadi Tedem Ubet, where there's a machloket about Shum HaDayanim. What is Shum HaDayanim? Shum HaDayanim is where the judges come in, there's orphans, and generally we don't take payments that orphans' parents own. We don't take payments for loans or anything that they have outstanding. Okay, so if somebody, right, if somebody owes money to someone, they die, their children are left with a chov. If they have, you know, metaltelin, they can pay it back. But if they, again, remember, the person has to swear that they didn't get paid back. And then, what do we say? That so the children don't need to give back, they don't need to pay back from land if all they have is land. Except for there's a few things where, like mizonot to the almana, right, the mother, right, who might not necessarily be their mother, right, the widow, or the daughters, you know, from those things they take from the land. So now they make them sell their land. Now obviously the Yatomim are young, they can't sell their land by themselves and they'll get taken advantage of. So the courts come in and they assess how much the land is worth and they sell it for the orphans. So now what if they assessed the land in an improper manner, okay? Either they charge too much or they charge too little, okay? So, Shum HaDayanim, Shum is like from Shuma, assessment, right? That means to assess. So the assessment of the judges, Shepichato Shtut, O Hosifu Shtut, okay? If it was more than a six or less than a six, Micharam Batel, then their sale is invalid, okay? Probably when we get to Rashbag, you'll all of a sudden remember that we've seen the sugya. Rashbag omer mecharan kayan. Even if they made a huge error here, we don't care. Their sale is a good sale. Why? Im ken makoch beitin yafeh. Okay, remember we had this whole thing about makoch beitin yafeh. What's the power of the courts if not to be able to make decisions that maybe go against what you might have thought would be the case or what might, right? If we start, and what's this real thing? If we start to question the courts, people will start to basically lose confidence in the courts and it will create a bad, it'll be bad for the system. So therefore, okay, but the main point is that according to this, notice what it says here, at a sixth, right, this is specifically a sixth, what does it say? Micharam batel. So Shuma Dayanim, what do we say? Shtut is like Yoter Mishtut, right? According to them, the Mecher is going to be batel, it's going to be canceled. So now, what do we, and remember, Rav Huna said less than a sixth, the Mechach is Kayam. So now the source is a very strange source, and there's a bit of a difficulty about how to read all this, but we'll read it like this. B'simanav u'b'meitzarav, p'chet shtut, o hotir shtut, harehu, now here we have perfect, a braita that talks specifically about our case, and it talks about exactly a sixth, so we're in good shape, right? We're going to figure out exactly what it is.
A sixth of the total size, correct?
A sixth of the total size.
So it's off by more than a sixth.
It's off by more than a sixth. But now we're saying it's off by exactly a sixth. That's the whole thing.
I see.
Is it off by more than a sixth or less than a sixth? Then we know where it goes. But what about at a sixth?
But not the value, the size.
Oh, right, the size. We're talking about that you said it was a certain size and it was off by the size, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, what does it say here? Okay, get ready. So we're going to get our answer. Harehu kishum hadayanim. It's just like Shum HaDayanim, okay, right? Which means the way we evaluate the Shum HaDayanim, which according to the Mishnah is going to be what? At Shtut, what did we say? The Mekach is Batel. Except what's the next word? Higi'o. It's just like Shum HaDayanim, right? But and therefore, it's a good sale. Which doesn't make any sense. Because if we say it's like Shum HaDayanim, right? The beginning, okay, let's say this says two things, basically. It's kishuma dayanim, and shuma dayanim, we said that shtut is like yoter mishtut, right? A sixth is basically the mekach is canceled, okay? But then it says higiyo, that a sixth, the mekach is kayam. So it kind of says itself in the opposite, right? So they bring it right now to question Rav Huna, who says, right, because it says it's just like shuma dayanim. Right, b'ha shuma dayanim dishtut. Let's ignore the words higiyo right now. Okay, the Gemara is kind of ignoring them. So, but now they say, and what do we know about shuma dayanim? Dishtut ki yoter mishtutu. Right, and we know that shuma dayanim shtut is like yoter mishtut, and the whole mekach is canceled. So here you have a source that goes against Rav Huna. So obviously, how's Rav Huna going to answer? Amar lecha Rav Huna v'lit ameich higiyo katane. But according to what you're saying. Look at, if you want to disprove me, I could disprove the other side. Because what does the last word of this source say, the Braita? Higi'o, the mekach is kayam. That proves dafka my side. So therefore, how does he, so he says, obviously, there's a problem in the Braita, right? It doesn't make any sense. The Braita contradicts itself. It says on the one end, it's like shuma dayanim, which would assume the mekach would be canceled. But the next word says, higi'o, that the mekach is good. It's not canceled, which would go against that. So what's Rav Huna going to say? Ela kishuma dayanim velo kishuma dayanim. It's like shuma dayanim in a particular way, but it's not like shuma dayanim in another way. Okay, I'm going to read it according to the way that appears to me to be the pshat here, and others read it this way. But there, are, just know there's many different ways of reading this sentence in different ways. But ela, so what does he mean here? Kishuma dayanim lishtut. Kishuma dayanim. It's like shuma dayanim in what sense? That. If you say b'simanavu b'meitzarav, what's the bright to want to tell you? It's not 1/24th like the classic case of hein chaser hein yeter, right? But it's shtut. The shi'ur that we're discussing is a sixth. But it's not like shuma dayanim. In what sense? V'lo k'shuma dayanim d'ilu ha'tam batel mekach v'ilu ha'cha higi'o. That exactly at a sixth they differ. In other words, the general shi'ur is a sixth. It's just that shuma dayanim, if it's exactly a sixth, is canceled. And in our case, if it's exactly a sixth, the mekach is kayam. So it's not like shuma dayanim for the fact that we're trying to figure out exactly the sixth, what's at that exact shiur. It's the concept that we're talking about a sixth. Okay. Now we're going to get to another case. Rav Papa Zavin Av Arameh Hu Gavra. He bought a property of land from someone, and what did the person say? Right, it's obvious because we're in this situation. Person said, "B'simanavu b'meitzarav," and then the person said, "Amar le havia esrin grive." Okay, it's 20 grive. One second, right? Grive. I always forget. We have this a bunch of times. What exactly the shiur of grive is? Right, what is it?
Measures.
It's just measures. That's why I forget. Okay. It's measures. Okay. It's just, this includes 20 measures of whatever the measure is, I guess. Mashche velo havya ela chamishra. Okay. What is that? Chamishasar, right? He measures it and it wasn't really esrim grive. It was 15 grive. Ata lekameh davai. So what would be the halacha according to what we learned? This is more than a sixth. Right? So the mekach is going to be canceled. This is a quarter of the property. So, ata lekameh davai, amar leh, savart v'kibalt. He says, you accepted it. You're tough luck. Okay? What do you mean? Didn't we say the mekach is batel at more than a sixth? So, v'hatnan, he says to him, what do you mean? Doesn't the Mishnah say, pacho mishtut higiyo, ad shtut yinakeh, right? If it's more than shtut, we're going to deduct it, right, and figure it out. So, what does he answer him? Hanemile hecha delo kimle begava. Hecha bekimle begava, savar bekibel. So now he says, what are you talking about? He says, that halacha in the Mishnah is only in a case where you weren't familiar with the property. And then we assume you didn't realize, and we let, you know, we kind of do the recalculation. However, if kimla begava, if you knew the property, and you knew this property, you saw it, you knew this property. You were familiar with it. You knew from the start this wasn't 20. So therefore, since you should have known, since you knew the property, we assume that you must have accepted it in any case.
It seems like a bad answer.
Yeah, so it seems like a bad answer. So I'm going to give you some explanations, okay? So now the Gemara says, so now Rav Papa continues. He wasn't so happy with that. So he says, V'ha'esrin amar li, but he said to me it was 20. Okay, so now what could Rav Papa possibly meant by this? Rav Papa meant, okay, the assumption is, what did he think? That the guy said he's selling me 20, he said this property in his boundary is 20. So what Rav Papa thought was that the guy was going to supplement, as Rav Papa clearly knew it was 15, he was familiar with the property, but he assumed that the person was going to supplement and add another 5 measures from some other kind of land, and that must have been what he meant. If the guy added, after he said, I'm selling you this land exactly as it is, right, with these measurements that you see, and then he added, and I'm giving you 20 grive, he assumed that he was going to add. So what does Abaye say? Amarle, da'adifa kesrin. Okay, so now he says, since it's so obvious that everybody knew this wasn't 20, you have to remember there was a big percentage difference here. This wasn't even a little more than a sixth. This was a quarter. The difference between 15 and 20 is quite large, and it really should have been noticeable, especially if the assumption is Rav Papa knew the property. So Rav Papa claims, I thought he meant I'm going to add. But again, it's always, Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. And what can the guy make a claim, the owner of the land? He could say, what I meant was, it's as good as 20 grive, okay? In other words, it's such great land. Well, again, what does measures mean? It's also measures of what you can grow here. So what he's saying is this land is so good that you can grow, it's as if you could grow 20 crops, right? Because let's put it this way. 15 measures of crops could be potentially valued, if it's really good crops, at 20, right? In other words, if you could sell 20 medium, you know, average crops, 20 measures of average crop, but you have 15 amazing crops, so in theory, you could maybe sell them for a higher price and get the same amount. So that's really what he was telling him. Okay, now I remember this measures is not measures of land, it's measures of how much you can actually grow. Okay, so therefore, the guy can claim that's what I really meant. And therefore, we side with the owner, because again, I assume it's based on a Muslim Chaber Alaf Araya, and there's no way to prove really what he meant when he said that. Okay, so again, this is going back to many, many, many cases where language can be, you know, explained in many different ways. Okay, from here we're moving to a totally different topic, which is going to somewhat connect, which is about brothers splitting up property they inherited. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ha'achim Shechalku. Okay, so brothers split up a property. Kevan, now the question is going to be, at what point do they acquire the land? Kevan sha'ala goral le'echad mehem kana kulam. Okay, so there was an assumption that brothers sometimes decide to do a lottery. So, you know, who's going to get what land? So we'll pick, right? We'll pick out of a hat. You know, everyone will pick straws, whatever it might be, and that will determine who gets what land. So once the goral comes out for the first guy, the first brother, kanu kulam, everybody acquires their property. Now, this is quite strange. Let's say there's 5 brothers, so one picks out his share. How could the others acquire their share when they have no idea which share is going to be theirs? So that's quite strange. So the first thing that's strange is that just picking a thing out of a hat and saying, that's my share, already gives you rights to the land. And not only does it give you rights to land, but it gives everybody rights to their piece, which again is very strange. So I'm going to give a bunch of different interpretations. One is that it means that that brother acquired that piece of land. And at that point when he picks, you know, okay, this is mine, none of the other brothers can take from his land. In other words, it's clear that that's his and he's acquired it, and no one else has any rights to it anymore. It doesn't mean that the others got rights to their individual portions, because we have no idea what their individual portion is. The second is to say that once, let's say the brothers decide, and this I can imagine, right? So you try to figure out by what kind of system are we going to divide up the Yerusha, right? I'll just give an example. Let's say there's jewelry left from someone, you know, someone dies, the mother dies, leaves jewelry. So the kids go around and they decide, okay, we're going to do a rotation, right? So you pick a piece, then someone else picks a piece, then someone else picks a piece, and we're going to do it by rotation. So according to this interpretation, what it means is as soon as we decide on what format we're going to do it, and someone, in fact, does the first round, right, they pick their share, at that point, no one can renege on that type of division. Okay, that in other words, everyone's agreed that we're going to do it by goral. Okay, and they can't change their minds on it. Whereas before he picks the goral, so we could have said we're going to do it, and then someone could change their mind and say, let's do something different, and they could change their mind. But once someone picks, that's already, so the kinyan is not about the land. The kinyan is really referring to that there's no changing the system anymore. This is the system we're going by. You can imagine why they do this, because it's so complicated how to divide up property. It's something that, unfortunately, creates a lot of tension in families, often, not always, thank God, but in many situations, about how to divide up the property and how to divide up the possession. So you can imagine why this would be an important thing. The third option is to say that sometimes when you draw lots, once the first person picks, it's clear the order after that. We know who's who, and we know what land is going where. So as soon as the first one picks, it's already going back to what we thought in the beginning. Everybody actually already acquired their property, because once the first one picked, it was clear what the rest of the talik was going to be. We had already picked an order, let's say, and we knew that the first one was going to get the first plot, the second one the second. So once the first one picks, it's not only kinyan for him, but it's a kinyan for everybody. So at that point, it's all finalized. Okay, so now what are they, now they want to give a reason. Okay, and we're going to potentially have two different reasons here, because there's going to be two different ways to read the Gemara. So it's either one reason that we're going to now clarify, or it's two different reasons. My taima. So what's the reason why a goral? Now what's bothering the Gemara? How can picking something out of a hat give you a kinyan? You didn't acquire the property. What do you generally need to do to property to acquire? You need to do a chazaka. You need to go down to the land, do some act to the land to show ownership. How could a goral acquire ownership? So they say, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kitchilat Eretz Yisrael, Matchilah Begoral, Avkam Begoral. Just like when they got to the land of Israel, how did they split up the land using a goral? Right? They had some sort of system of a goral, where by that system, that was how they divvied up land. Therefore, specifically, if the brothers choose to go with this goral, it's not that you have to divide it through a goral, but if they choose to use what was used in Eretz Yisrael back then, when we first got the land, that is so valid, right? It counts as if it's a kinyan. Okay, now comes the Gemara and questions, what do you mean? Ima lahalam bekalpi ve'urim betumim. Avkam bekalpi ve'urim betumim. How is the land divided? First of all, now there's going to be a difference between a goral and a kalpi. Okay, there's going to be a few different interpretations here. One is to say, the kalpi, what's a kalpi? It's like a kli, you know, like I said, a hat. You know, you use it with something and you pull out. Right? There's different ways of doing a goral. I gave an example of pulling things out of a hat. Could be you could do a goral in some other way. Okay, so either the Gemara is saying just goral doesn't necessarily work. It has to be both with a kalpi and with urim v'tumim, right, which is the way they kind of questioned God. It was a whole weird system that we have trouble really understanding that used to work then, which we obviously don't have now. So either the Gemara is saying, well, you've got a kalpi here, but you don't have the Urim V'Tumim, and therefore it doesn't work. Or even it's saying, not only do you need the Urim V'Tumim, but you also need a kalpi, and you know, it could be this goral wasn't done with a kalpi. Okay, but it seems even more to say that the kalpi is like the goral, and the Urim V'Tumim is the part that we're missing here. So therefore, it sounds like they're rejecting. Right, one way of reading this is they reject Rabbi Elazar Bichlal, and now Rav Ashi comes with a different interpretation. Other people say, if you notice, it just says Amar Rav Ashi. So some people say there's a girsa that says Ela Amar Rav Ashi. And if you have that girsa, it means the Rav Ashi is coming and giving a whole different explanation. And others say, no, because it says Amar Rav Ashi and it doesn't say Ela Amar Rav Ashi, that Rav Ashi is actually clarifying what Rabbi Elazar said and making it more understandable. So we'll read Rav Ashi in both ways. Amar Rav Ashi, Bahahu Hana'a Dekatzaite Lahadade, Gamrei Umachne Lahadade. When the brothers, what did I say? It's very complicated for brothers to agree on how to split property, right? Or any, not only brothers, sisters, right? Any kind of yorshim. And in this case, since they agreed to listen to each other, right? They agreed to say, this is the system that's going to work. And therefore, they all kind of agree, this is the system we're going to use. Therefore, it works, because they basically agreed to say, since we're agreeing to do a lottery, as soon as it falls on, you know, your lottery falls out and you get what you get, we're all agreeing, Meirosh, that that's going to be your property. And therefore, as soon as he picks, it's already by rights his, because the brothers have, and who has to be makne? All the brothers own it jointly. So they all have to say, well, we want you to own it. So since they agreed to this whole system of goral, that's why it works. So either we say that this totally rejects the first understanding, or we keep within Rabbi Elazar's that only a goral would work in this way and not anything else. And why? Because that was how they inherited the land. In other words, when it comes to brothers and inheritance and trying to divvy up, that when they have to choose the method of goral, since that's the way land was divvied up then and that's the way they're divvying up now, that therefore it's going to be acquired to them. And it doesn't work magically because there's this thing of goral and it was the way they did in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael they also use the Urim V'Tumim. However, it's working as a combination of the fact that they went back to the method that was used then, combined with the fact that all the brothers have agreed to this, and their agreement is basically transferring rights to the other brothers. And therefore, from it's in their mind, basically, they're transferring rights to the other brother, and they're actually machne. It happens to be that there's one parshan who Dafka says that this is only once they actually do a kinyan on the property. He's still not willing to accept all this, and he thinks that even the way, I don't know exactly how he reads the sugya, because it really doesn't sound like, but that really you have to actually do a kinyan on the property in order to allow it to work. Okay. Now, we're going to have another story about brothers. Itmar, shnei achim shachalku, ubalahen ach mi medinat hayam. Okay, there's two brothers. There's actually three, but one is not in the picture anymore. And the father dies, and the two brothers split up the property. And all of a sudden, a third brother shows up and says, hey, what about me? So what happens to their chalukah, right? Is this like mekach ta'ut, right? In a sense, they kind of divvied up the property in a totally mistaken way because they were supposed to divvy it up into three and they only divided it into two. Or do we say that what they did, but they have to each give part of their land to the third brother? Okay, so we have a machloket here. Rav amar b'teila machloket. Here machloket doesn't mean machloket the way we generally use it. It means the chalukah. Okay, the whole division is canceled. We start from scratch. Ushmuel amar mikamtzin. Milashon kamtzan, someone who's frugal. As we're frugal about how we start changing things here. Okay, that we basically take parts from each of the brothers. Okay, so each brother keeps his part. However, each one gives enough to the other brother, so the other brother's left with a third. According to the Rimi Gash, he says that even though Shmuel says this, Shmuel only means it's if the third brother agrees. But if the third brother's not happy with that arrangement, then even Shmuel will agree that we start from scratch. Okay. Amar le-Rav le-Rav Nachman. Le-Rav de-Amar b'tela machloket alma hadardina. Right? For, according to Rav, this is obvious, who says the whole thing is canceled. Right? So what do we say? Hadardina, right? The whole din that they did, the whole chalukah, everything's canceled. Elameata, so according to this, logic would state that hani beitlata dekaime ba'azol beitre minayu uplog hachinami debatla machloket. Okay, if there were three people, now this is a case that comes up in Bava Metzia, and the law is different. There we say if there's three partners who two of them went to the court to get the land divided, and they did it without the third party, then according to this, you would say b'teila machloket. And the source there says that if the two of them went to court and got it all divided up, okay, now there's a bit of a debate about what exactly happened here. Did it, right, if I recall, one second, I think it's that they, one second, right, there's a bit of a debate about what this case is in general, which case they're referring to. But most people think they're referring to this case in Bava Metzia, on Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, which, one second. Right, they divided it in, what happened, right, the main way of understanding it is the Rashbam who says that they went to the court to divide the property into three, but they went without the third person. And the court basically determined who gets what. And the third guy wasn't there. And then the third guy shows up and says, this isn't what I wanted, right, and you didn't involve me. And he tries to complain, and the fact is, we don't say b'teila machloket, we say what's done is done. Now, obviously, you could say, well, the court did it. You know, maybe there's a bit of a difference here. But the Gemara is going to give a different difference, okay? It could be they could have said that difference, but they already come up with a different difference. But they basically say, hani b'tzlata d'kaime ba'azel, b'tre minai uplog, hachinami, you would assume both there, the b'teila machloket. And it's not the case there, okay? Tosfot actually says it's a different case. He says, first of all, you can't compare that case because that case is money and this case is property, and therefore it's not a good comparison. And they say, right, so Tosfot, second, the third brother arrives. Right, he thinks when the third brother arrives, they repeat the lottery, but only partially. Anyway, there's a whole thing there about it. But go with the Rashbam right now. And he says, then the Gemara continues and says, "Hachi hashta, are you comparing these two cases? Is this an accurate comparison?" Hatam nechite adata deblei tata meikara. In that case, they went to the court, assuming already to divide the property in three. So they divide it in three. The third guy's just not happy with which portion he got. But hacha, Lo nechite adata debetzlata meikara. The two brothers just divided it by two when they knew there was a third brother, right? They should have divided it in three and left the third portion for the brother. And therefore, when they divided it in two, it was a totally, it's a classic case of mekach ta'ut. This was a, you know, again, it's not a mekach, it's not a sale, but it was all done mistakenly because they didn't even think about the third brother. And that's why it's not good. Amar Rav Papa L'Abaye. So that was a question on Rav. Now, so Rav, there was Rava said to Rav Nachman and asked this question according to Rav. And now we're going to ask a question about Shmuel. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, L'Shmuel da'amar mikamtsin, l'memer dekam dina. Assuming, right, according to Shmuel, he says mikamtsin. So it sounds like kam dina, right? Whatever they split was good. It's just that now each guy owes a certain amount to the third brother. So according to that, we have a problem, and now we're going to go back to something we just saw yesterday and other in other places. V'harav Shmuel da'amar travaihu, Kur b'shloshim ani mocher lecha, yachol lachzor bo afilu b'se'a achrona. Okay, I'm not going to continue reading because I want to first stop here at this part because this is the part that they're quoting for our purposes. In the case of kur b'shloshim ani mocher lecha, right, the guy says, I'm selling you a kur for, right, a kur which is 30 se'a for shloshim sla'im. So he starts measuring it out, and even if he gets to the 29th, right, and then one of the sides changes their mind, they can cancel the whole mekach, right? They could say, we don't want to do this. So now that sounds like, even though it's quite different, sounds like our case, where they did this chalukah, where they didn't finish it, they didn't do it properly, right? But it sounds like, in our case, their chalukah stayed, even though it was wrong, or even though, right, there was a problem later, what they did was good. So why wouldn't we say in this Kor B'Shloshim that every part they measured is actually acquired, okay, and it works, and just like the, right, like it is, like we say in the later case, right, which is Kor B'Shloshim Sabasela Ani Mocher Lecha Rishon Rishon Kana. Okay, that part's not relevant to our purposes because we're really talking about the case where each one can be Chozer Bo even at the Se'ah Chorna. So why don't we say there the Kamdina? These two cases are quite different. The Mara is going to give a particular difference, but I think also we could come up with many other differences. So what's the answer here? Hatam avid rabbana milta denichale lamocher v'nichale lelokeach. When it comes to the case of the se'ah b'sela, the kor b'shloshim ani mocher lecha, why did the rabbis institute that there's no kinyan until the very end? Because they want to help both sides, right? They want to help both the mocher and the lokeach to allow each of them. Now, what's the issue? Why do we allow each of them to be chozer? But what could happen? Could be the prices will go up in the meantime while they're measuring. And then all of a sudden, the seller will say, oh, I don't want to go with this. I want to go sell to someone for a higher price. And they help the lokeach that if the prices start dropping, he can get out of it and go buy from somebody else for a cheaper price. So therefore, they made some takana, basically, specifically to allow both sides to have this maneuverability. But that's obviously not relevant in this case of the brothers, where they already divvied up the property, right? And then, and the assumption is, since they already divided up the property, then when the third brother comes along, right, we just have to make sure that the brother gets what he's deserving of. But there's no issue here of the both sides and trying to make a takana. They're basically saying that was a unique takana for that situation to allow both the seller and the buyer to have maneuverability. Whereas this, you know, that's not a relevant issue. Okay, that's it for today.